Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. And today I have with me your other beautiful, beautiful host, Carl.
Oh, well, thank you, my dear. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, how you doing? All right.
Yeah.
She says it right in front of the monster episode. You know, yeah, I'm just pointing that out. Just letting you know. That's a sliding scale we're dealing with.
You look better than that monster. Anyway, we're going to also introduce somebody who hasn't been to the family in a long time. It's like a
long time. Yeah. The prodigal son.
I know. Will. He's back.
Will. I'm back.
I'm
back, baby.
And he got a little soul.
That was actually Mexican. It was Bender. But we'll let it slide. Go on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mexicans have soul.
That's right.
Some certain ones, I think.
Anyways. Yeah, let's step over that.
I've been sitting at home. I've been watching, Almost Human.
Did you hear the great episode that Carl did?
I missed the episode. What happened? I don't know what happened.
I'm talking about the podcast episode where Carl did the wonderful eulogy to Almost Human.
Oh my God. It got canceled? I didn't know this.
Are you kidding me?
You're being funny right now, right?
No, I am not making this up.
Will, it's canceled.
You're breaking this news to you right now.
Who are you? Yeah, slacker.
I'm a man who now has a job and is not...
Congratulations!
I'm not connected to the net, 24 hours.
Okay. Folks, they want to hear what we're going to talk about. So we're not going to bore them with all that catch-up, catch-a-catch, because they hate that. So, guys, what we're going to talk about today is... Dramatic pause.
Gojira!
Yeah!
It's Gojira.
That's what I said.
Gojira?
I
was pronouncing it like Godzilla.
The word is Gojira.
Gojira. That's the original. Yes.
Okay, let's go text and it's Godzilla. So, let me give you guys some background on Godzilla.
Okay.
Kat does not like, I'm going to be annoying and speak about myself in the third person. So here we go. Kat does not like creatures. Kat does not like creature features. Kat does not want to see Godzilla. I did not want to see this. Stephanie suggested this to me, and I shut her down. Then there was this campaign of people in my entire life that all angles just attacking me like, Kat, you need to see Godzilla. So I got out to see it today, reluctantly, with a friend, and shut up, Carl. And so I was drugged to this thing, kicking and screaming. I don't know. You know how some people, they don't like science fiction and it just makes them uncomfortable? That's what I feel about creatures. I know what they feel like. It's just, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me, and I don't want to see it. However. So I liked it.
Yes! Victory is mine!
I liked it.
And okay, I'll tell you, can I make a big...
Hang on, she's in the middle of a big confession here. Let her finish.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I went in like with a serious hate on. And you know, when you go in with your mind made up that you're going to hate something, it's really hard to overcome that. Mm-hmm. And somehow they did. And I think because they took an alien approach, we've seen the approach that they took with Battle Cold in Los Angeles. We've seen this approach with other films like, something like that where you get the big alien invasion. So to me, instead of a creature movie, it felt like a really big alien invasion. And so that made it comfortable for me. It was a comfortable space with the U.S. military. I really liked the way they play that, and that was comfortable for me. And so this movie just had a lot of things to bring in a person like me who just who is not comfortable with big monsters going around, and the big monsters what they were doing made sense, because I don't know what Godzilla does and like what is his purpose. It's just running around, and then like I don't get it. Like, why is that a thing? Why are people excited about this? I didn't get it. And so because they told a story in a way that built up, threw a little science at it, they threw a little echolocation to it, you know, they dropped a little sonar and all this. I was just like, oh, okay, I get it. It makes sense now. And they wrapped a story around it that was, you know, good enough. It was a really nice popcorn summer flick, and I didn't hate it. And everybody can go ahead and say, I told you so now.
No, no, I would never say such a thing.
Bullshit.
Well, not in this case, certainly. No, no, seriously. It was a calculated risk on my part, because I hadn't seen the film. I hadn't seen films like that. But knowing the director, knowing what the place he was coming and where he was going, his thing about Godzilla has always been respect. That's it, because in the 60s, you know, the first two Godzilla movies, killer, really good, really scary, actually good movies. Not the Raymond Burr movies, the actual Japanese movies. And those kick major ass. They're very good. After that, it's kind of, oh, look, there's a guy in a dog suit, and then there's Monster X, and and it kind of devolved into, you know, happy Godzilla who fights for the children and, yeah, and destroys millions of dollars of
for
stuff.
The children.
I know. He
actually did. He's not joking about that.
No.
Godzilla
but,
was kids.
Exactly.
Then came Godzuki.
Exactly. And Zuki and Godzilla. All that stuff. But the thing is, since Godzilla, which we ended up calling Godzilla 1984, that time period, to the current movie in Japan, you have the children who were people who are watching Godzilla as children are now making those movies, and a lot of the changes and twists on that genre and the ideas are very, very unique and very, very good, actually. A lot of them are very good. And those movies are different from the original Godzilla movies, you know, entirely. But the thing is, what you end up with is a generation who's only seen, in America certainly, who've only seen the, oh, look, there's the funny Godzilla and there's the guy doing, I have no idea why there is a Godzilla with a bunch of frat boys being frat boys. Why there's a Godzilla who's eating Fiats or little cars. I have no idea why this exists, because nowadays this character is a, I'm using big quotes, real entity. It's a character that's coming from a direction. It's a, you know, a primal force of nature, a force of the planet. And this is a new thing. For everybody in America, really, it's like, well, Godzilla is an actual character. And I'm sitting there watching the movie going, duh. I knew this because I'd seen these other movies and had my opinions.
It's not for, like, a lot of people went into this. Oh, well, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but my perspective, people could have gone into this without knowing the history of Godzilla or anything, and not seeing the happy children-go-lucky Godzilla, which, thank God, I never saw, because I would have been even more reluctant to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only Godzilla that I've seen and have experience with is the one with Matthew Broderick in 1988 with Roland Emmerich.
I'm sorry, what?
The 1998.
I'm not familiar with that.
No one who's a true fan of Godzilla.
I saw that, and I was forced to see it. I think I might have been excited to see that, or forced to see it. But I saw it, and I was like, never again, because it was just not good. And that's why. People said Godzilla 2014. I'm like, no, I saw the last one, and I don't think I want to spend my money in that manner. That was
I couldn't disagree with you in that direction, but knowing what's his name, Gareth Edwards, knowing who he is, where he came from, and his love of this character. He loves the films. He loves the point of view. He loves the character, and he has at least a deep respect for the character, which is weird. Because I mean, yeah, sure. You look at the Emmerich one, and you go, What is this about? Why do you exist? What is the effects? No, what are you doing? They stuck a guy in a capture suit, and look, it's floating. Oh, it's so millions of pounds.
It felt basically like a watered down Jurassic Park, is what.
Oh, not even watered down. I mean, like a the worst Jurassic Park.
Yeah. That's super watered down. I mean, literally watered down.
So. Actually, water is what we're talking about.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Really, but it was just, and then it was pointless on several dozen levels. And, you know, I mean, to the thing, those guys should be taken out and shot for that movie. Existing. Well, not shot.
Yeah, okay, so,
but anyways.
Here are a couple of, I mean, when you put a title like Godzilla out, especially, there is a huge, tremendous history to the character and to the sequence of movies. And people have a certain expectation. I'm all about reboots and trying to give new films the benefit of the doubt and try to experience them as new. But Godzilla is classic in a very, very epic sense. So when you put a movie out and you put the name Godzilla on it, you're going to have a reasonable expectation of what the movie is going to be about. Like you said, there's so many of the folks that grew up during the first series of Godzillas that when the 98 one rolled around, we had a genuine enthusiasm because, wow, to marry the concept of what the original Godzilla series was trying to be with the quality of special effects that we had in 98, everybody was excited. Was so excited when Godzilla moved. And even the previews, that cool shot with the footprint and the pullback from the footprint trying to figure out, what is it? I don't see it. Epic. And then what they rolled out.
And then that movie.
Jurassic turd that they dropped on us. Just so disappointing. So disappointing.
It was on several levels.
Let's let go of 98 Godzilla and let's talk. Okay, so yes. When this one began, the producer of this one, is the producer or the director? The director.
The director. Garrett Edwards. Yeah.
Had a very particular resume point for this Godzilla that made him uniquely qualified. Was his movie called Monsters?
Yes.
And that was what got me excited. Now, here's the thing. When Monsters, his movie Monsters came out, and I have a real appreciation for those independent directors, producers, who have big ideas and no budget, and what they are able to deliver. Now, we all saw Cloverfield, and the idea...
I like Cloverfield.
Where you go, look, you got $8 to make a movie, it's one of those Blair Witch camera jobs, at the end, it's got a good reveal with the monster, the arc of that was good. I wasn't tremendously thrilled with the experience, because... I didn't find the characters that likable, and it took us all the way to the end of the movie before we saw a decent shot of the monster.
And it wasn't that good.
And it wasn't that spectacular. So I did not like that. So then I saw Monsters. Now Monsters, what separated it from Cloverfield was again an appreciation for the director being able to unveil a story. The whole frame of what Monsters was about was awesome. You know, meteors fell down and it sort of like infected a zone south in Mexico, and they built a big wall, and these people have got to try to get out of the monster infected zone, and everything's coming alive because beautiful idea, beautiful concept. Monsters, I felt, was a little bit slow, but the end reveal was actually really, really good. And what he was able to do with the effects and the arc was really, really good with Monsters. And I thought the characters were interesting. I liked that. So when Godzilla came out, I said, this guy has got, finally, I'm going to get to see a lot of the monsters, solid character development with someone who's respectful of the history of Godzilla. I was really, really, really excited about Godzilla.
Uh-oh.
So here are my concerns. From the preview, there are two things that I wanted to see in this movie. There are two things. When I watched the preview, two things pulled me in this movie. Mm-hmm. One, Richard Cranston. I'm like, all right, Richard Cranston in a Godzilla movie? Yes.
I was dubious.
So the first thing I wanted to see, Richard Cranston. The second thing I wanted to see in this movie is Godzilla.
Don't you mean Brian Cranston?
I mean, sorry, what am I saying? Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you.
You're saying Lamont Cranston. Right,
Brian Cranston. I was disappointed with both in this movie because I wanted to see more Brian Cranston and I wanted to see more of Godzilla in this movie. This movie was more about Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's the bro. Who we, does anybody know what Aaron Taylor Johnson was in?
I don't know. Where was he from?
Shocking. He was kick ass. Yes.
With different hair.
He wasn't that cock diesel in Kick Ass, was he?
No, he wasn't.
He welcomed us to the gun show in this film.
Yeah.
He was pumped up, big, huge, not the little gnarly, squirrely thing he was in Kick Ass with this guy.
I think he tried to get a little more pumped for Kick Ass 2. But
still. I didn't see that because you told me it was terrible.
Hell, it was terrible. So,
okay.
But so yeah, Kick Ass was the. But the thing is, when you're looking at the previews, and you're watching the previews, you don't even see. It's like, you know, he's an extra. Cranston is the lead. And, of course, lots and lots of Godzilla. If you watch the preview, you don't even know that there are other monsters in the film other than Godzilla.
Right. Yes.
So when I'm watching Godzilla and I'm wanting to see, it was the same arc that we had with Monsters. Here was my complaint with that, though.
Yes.
You got $80 to make a film. I will give you a lot of leeway because you're dependent upon the character development. You're dependent on your arc, and you have your big reveal in the end, which is spectacular in Monsters. This guy, he had a couple of bucks to make a Godzilla movie. I really, really wanted to see more of Godzilla specifically, but more of the monsters. And I'm looking at my watch in the film. And I'm looking at 50 minutes in, and I don't think what I finally saw 50 minutes in wasn't even Godzilla. That was
was that Mothra?
What did they? No, they didn't call him Mothra. What did they call him in this film?
Mutos.
Yeah, massively unidentified terrestrial objects. Of course, but it flew.
So. Yeah, okay, good. Well, they didn't know that when they named him. But yeah.
Did you see the poster that had Mothra on it in the boys' room at the beginning?
Yeah. Oh, not only that, but don't forget the little terrarium joke.
Yes.
Was on that, too. So, you know, they, because they are respectful of the series, they were cracking the little jokes all around for that kind of stuff, which I thought was cool. But, man.
Very cool.
With Spielberg in Jurassic Park, which is probably the best example I can think of.
I haven't seen that in a while.
The unveil of the dinosaur was spectacular. And for them to be bringing back Godzilla with such respect, and I was really, really wanting that unveil of Godzilla in this. And they kept teasing us, and they kept teasing us like you would do if you don't have money in a movie. And the biggest reveal was for Mutos, and not even Godzilla was like an after. When he shows up, we had seen so many other things, and when he finally steps ashore, it wasn't the hero reveal that I thought was deserved of Godzilla finally coming back.
I can't wait to disagree with you.
I'm sorry. Look, I mean, it just felt smaller for Godzilla. I thought they did a bigger reveal.
Oh, you thought so?
Well, for Mutos than they did for Godzilla. Well, because there was so much more tension, and there was the earthquake thunder, and there was the strobe lighting nuclear wake up, and the power goes out. There was such a bigger reveal for Mutos than there was for Godzilla. For Godzilla, there were a couple of spotlights. He steps up on the beach, bam, and that was it. And I was like, oh, that it just
bathed in a light. Well, I thought he got a star reveal. You know, the Mutos are kind of okay. Yeah, right. You're impressive. We know you're massive. Okay, cool. But yeah, but you're Godzilla. Hello, how you doing? I'm Godzilla. It's that kind of a feel for it.
It did.
At least in my opinion.
You just stepped in with, yo, I'm Godzilla. What's up, everybody? Yeah. That's how it felt to me.
How y'all doing? Yeah.
I just wanted, I don't know, I just wanted something more awe-inspiring for the bring back. I was impressed with the scale of Godzilla, because if you look through the history, you know, true Godzilla fans, it's like they kept shrinking Godzilla for a while. So this
taller,
one,
and they get small, and they get fat for a while.
This is a point in terms of scale, but I just didn't have the visceral unveil like I did with Jurassic Park with the dinosaurs. Each dinosaur that came out, just the way that they came out was so exciting and playful and fun and awesome. Awe-inspiring. I didn't get that with Godzilla per se. I thought really that it was a bigger reveal what was his name? The Mutos guy.
Mutos, yes.
Mutos.
Mutos.
I almost called him the Mojito. I almost
called him. Drink there, bruh.
Yeah. Mojito. I was a little disappointed with. But still, it was overall, it was enjoyable. It was enjoyable, but I just felt like they missed a couple of really, really pretty opportunities.
I agree with that. If I make a confession to the podcast, I kind of agree with Carl.
Yeah.
It was a set of choices, obviously, and they made certain choices, and I was tracking with it. I liked the movie until we got up to the end of the denouement, the third act, as they call it, and I was kind of a little not bored, but I was like, oh. Haven't we seen enough Godzilla? We need to see more. When Ring of Fire came out, you know, the movie with the dragons.
Holy crap! My
opinion of that was not enough dragons by half.
Yeah.
My opinion of this Godzilla movie, not enough Godzilla by about a third.
Really?
And Godzilla? Poor Godzilla.
He didn't come out until easily an hour into the film. We lost Cranston, who was one of the reasons I went there, and an hour in, no Godzilla.
Shocking the hell out of me, I must say. It's like, what? Yep. He's dead? What? Yep. He's dead? What? Yep.
It was totally a Seagal from, the darn movie?
Playing on the
Executive person. Decision?
That was the one.
No, yeah. No. Yeah.
It's supposed to be Kurt Russell's movie, not Seagal's?
Exactly. That's the one.
Program things, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, but you get that. But I loved... I love that movie. It's not my favorite Godzilla movie. It's a good movie, though. I think it's a really good movie, and it should be seen. But it's not my favorite Godzilla movie by far, actually.
There you go.
But the things about that movie, I mean, you talk about posters on the wall. They were in that area that was destroyed by the radiation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they had a helicopter flying through it. And there was a shot of this building, and I swear to God, it's from an old Godzilla movie. From the late 90s, where they nuked Godzilla. They literally nuked Godzilla and blew him up. Literally, he blew up. Well, they didn't. He didn't blow up. It was a big thing. But anyways, yeah. So then, and I'm going, this is, that's, oh, that's so cool. They would pick that city.
I have a feeling that on the Blu-ray, there's going to be a ton of Easter eggs that they're just going to want after. Because I could tell, despite the unveil, I could tell that Gareth Edwards was very respectful of the history of Godzilla. And I could feel that throughout the movie where I was like, yeah, okay. I can feel like, you know, the sort of the significance and what the gravity of a lot of the different things in the film was putting forth. It was quality and it felt real. I'm just, you know, that it just didn't all come together in a way that I was really hoping. And
really quickly, let me just mention, I have, since seeing the movie, they had an FX podcast from the FX PhD people, and they did an interview with Gareth Edwards about Godzilla and his opinions, and it was a really good interview. And a lot of these points are addressed and touched. It was really interesting because when he was making Monster, he went on a boat with two actors and shot it and shot a ton of stuff, and he brought it all back in, and then he went to the
special effects house guys.
Exactly. But no, these people just teach. That's all they do. The FX guy and the PhD, and the PhD, and he met these people and they helped him, and you know, he basically learned all the effects stuff from the outside in. And he makes a lot of comments about, yeah, it was really a pain doing this and this, but, you know, it worked later. Because you get the sense that he at least knows, yes, he knows how much it can be a pain in the ass to do special effects.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really good interview, and I highly recommend it to anybody listening to me right now.
I love checking it
out. Okay, so let me tell you why both of you are wrong.
Go ahead. Please tell us, Monster Expert, why we are wrong about the Godzilla film.
Let me tell you why you're wrong.
All right.
The Godzilla Expert.
Expert,
as they call them.
Well, calm down. Okay, so I think that you guys, this is the case where you have too much information on your hands and you just couldn't enjoy a summer film. Now, let me tell you why, as a viewer of not a monster expert, this film was made for a person like me, mm-hmm. and a general American audience to ease them into this genre, because quite frankly, we haven't seen something exactly like this in a while. I'm going to go to the intro. Stop talking. And then, okay, so the intro of the film where they have the old footage, I really appreciated that, because there was a lot of education in there if you kind of paid attention.
Yes.
It kind of brought you through World War II. You knew there was some old things going on. You didn't know quite what was happening, but you knew something was up.
Awesome.
It was big, nasty, and they killed it.
But black and white, it reminded me of what Transformers tried to do.
Exactly.
Films, but then it ended up pissing us off because of Challenger. But this thing had, it was just kind of authentic. We had the, Mammoth, or what was the Monarch?
Monarch.
Yes. Corporation. We already had
this thing that they're, the creature chasing thing is called Monarch. As we all know, Mothra is akin to Mothras, or to monarchs.
Okay. So I like that. Then we come in and we get, like, I think we had two separate films. So the Bryan Cranston portion of the film, it really just puts you in, I guess, the mind state of where this film, it gives you the scientific background. It lets you know what's happening.
It grounds it, makes it very real.
Very real.
It's like the beginning of Bambi, where the mom was killed.
Wouldn't have gone to Bambi, but okay.
Yeah, mom was killed, and it was very touching. And, you know, I like that. I like that there was a science behind it. They laid all of the groundwork for us in so many words without us really being overwhelmed by scientific gobbledygook, without really having to understand any of it. So they gave us that foundation. They gave us a son. They gave us a really caring family environment. Then they took it away. I, for one, knew that the woman was going to die when I first saw her, because I don't know why. I just felt
it. You mean the mom, right?
The mom. Mm-hmm. The mom died. I was just like, she's going to die. And she died. And I was just like, wow, that didn't really, I was joking, but she is dead. And so then I didn't think that we were going to fast forward 15 years, but we did. And we now have a really grown guy that we can appreciate. He's, you know, had military experience conveniently. Bryan Cranston has gone mad. He's obsessed with what happened, but he's obsessed and he knows what he's talking about. People don't want to listen to him because he's, you know, crazy. And I like that we as the audience know that he's onto something, because we're in a movie called Godzilla, so we know. But it takes a while for us to, you know, really get into this family and know that it's broken apart by something, you know, weird and strange that no one knows about. But Dad you know, winds up being right. So we get into that. And then, you know, when he's right and he's proven right, of course, he's taken away from the film, which I didn't like because I wanted him to be able to see more of this and prove his theories. Yes. But
a Japanese thing to have happened, by the way.
Okay. Mm. Thank you. But I like the way all of that was set up, because when he was able to prove his theory, he was able to prove it in a theatrical, scientific way. Yes, yes. And it made sense for the movie. What I did not know, and what was a surprise to me, was the Mutos or the Mothras or whatever, because I was like, oh, crap, here we go. This is the Godzilla. What is this movie going to be? Yep. And so we get to see this really awkward bug thing flying about with the most impractical feet ever, going around doing this stuff. And it's like, well, that's not Godzilla. What is that?
Yeah, that was
I must
fun.
Say, loved the design of the Mutos, both of them. Well, very much.
They were really angular. They kind of look like an alien spaceship. And I just, like, did not know what was going on. So it's because I did not have the history of Godzilla, I was able to appreciate that more. I like the pulses that they were giving about. I like the echolocation. They were communicating with each other. What were they communicating with each other? There's a mate. And we got, you know, we get to see all this stuff. And then at this point, I'm like, well, what's Godzilla for? Is he evil? Is he what's happening? So they kind of lead us into understanding Godzilla's purpose without kind of hitting us over the head with it, and yes, we learn that he is a sort of good guy, but he still kind of takes some of the army out because he's big and he's running around.
And they were kind of shooting at him, so that doesn't piss you off as a monster.
I would do that as a monster. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
That bridge, the freaking apes messed up that bridge. That bridge planet of the apes. Oh, Godzilla. So, I think
the buses. It's just
crazy. So, I think the reveal of Godzilla. While it wasn't enough, perhaps, for like Carl or whatever, I think he came in kind of like Optimus Prime, and he did his job, and he was kind of the hero. But I mean, you can't control the nature of him, and it was just, I don't know, it was presented in the way that made the only confusing part is that you really didn't understand his motivations other than the explanation they gave, which really wasn't coherent, because it's like, oh, they're here to maintain the balance with the Mothra, and because the Mutos are here to breed and infect our planet with little baby Mutos, but Godzilla exists to wipe the Mutos out, so this is nature balance. And I'm like, what? Okay, fine. And it just basically brought all that together to release a whole bunch of carnage, and we got to see that carnage in a really good way. The most exciting part for me in Godzilla was his light up tail and the fire that he spat from his mouth.
Epic
fire.
You know, you watch TV shows, and like a TV show will be watching a classic Godzilla or something, and you always see that. Godzilla doing that, but it's like, and because I've never watched a Godzilla film, I've just seen like bits and pieces of that, but when I saw it, I knew exactly what that was, and I got excited because I've seen that done before, but this was done so much better, and it looked great, and it made sense. It's like, why didn't he use that from the beginning? Oh, he has to build up the energy to do it, and then he uses it, and blah blah blah. And I just, I like that he is for humanity, perhaps, but I would like to be a little clearer as to why. I mean, they said it, but it's still kind of like mystical mumbo jumbo.
Well, Godzilla's always been a loner. You know, you don't question the motivations of Godzilla. He comes in, beats the crap out of monsters, goes back to the
sea. And goes home.
That's
what he does. That's you know, he's a loner.
He's an enigma.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I just wish I like that they left him kind of shades of gray because he would destroy some of the boats and stuff that were shut up. Just stop. I like that he would destroy some of the U.S. military boats and all this other type of stuff in trying to save or destroy these Mutos. And he just was they were like, you know how like cats playing around your house, they don't really care what they walk all over or tear up because they have no knowledge of that or value. They don't place value
and
on
them. And then you step on a tail and it's meddling.
Well, no, that's not bad, but I'm just saying they felt like they were just playing in an area and that they just was just trying to do their thing, and we just happened to be there to take witness of it, which I kind of like. I do have to say that, you know, I'm not as angry at the property damage of these animals as I was in Man of Steel, because Man of Steel kind of prevented that. We're not going to go into that, Carl, but whatever. also, while it was a little cheesy, the audience that I was in responded to the two Mutos rubbing heads together and showing love, like nuzzling each other. I thought that was just bizarre.
Monster love. Yes. Monster love.
They shared a nuke together, so that's very...
That was adorable.
They like toys. It's not a big thing. You know?
It is very tasty. Yeah. They need the nukes. It's feeding the babies.
Yeah. I think overall, it was successful. Now, Ken Watanabe was a little bit problematic because he wandered around being confused for the whole entire movie. And he was a stereotypical Asian character who had the mystical mumbo jumbo that he'd spout, or he'd turn around very slowly and dramatically and say Godzilla, and or oh, it's coming, you can't control nature. And I was just like, son, we don't, why are you doing this to this guy? He's like American or something. Like, don't treat us this way. We don't need the stereotype. You could have expected. Well, I'm just saying they could have like not. That's like having the black guys, you know, walk in. Hey, Jeff, Turkey. We don't want to see that anymore. Like,
No. The movie takes a point of view of, probably the first time for the only time in an American Japanese movie or movie about Godzilla, takes a point of view of you guys, you're the Japanese. You control the situation. You are studying it. You're doing all the important things on it. Oh, wait a minute. It's all over the world. Now we're going to take over. You know, it's not the – no, we run everything. We're just in control of everything. And
you're talking about
white people. We'll tell you – and the white people. We're not in charge.
Thank you God. What do you mean the white people were not in charge? This was a heavily American film.
No, which he's talking about in terms this of transition. Managing the monsters and all that stuff in the beginning of the film, during the Cranston era. Yes. The Godzilla / monsters were being managed by folks all out in, you know, the Asian area, the Pacific Rim, out that they were handling the monsters.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he busted into San Francisco that
America
came in.
Yeah, but
he
had one in Las Vegas.
Well, Hawaii. Let's be fair.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's right. Hawaii. You're right. Until it hit Hawaii that the U.S. military came in and said we need to do something.
Okay, you're in charge of this situation? No, I'm in charge of this situation. I'm the U.S. government.
And it's a reasonable, you know, sphere of influence.
I would have gone, okay, fine, yes, you're right. Go.
But we did not get to see any freaking Japanese military in uniform or what they look like.
Let's say one thing about the Japanese military in Godzilla movies. They look terrible. They are just so bad.
Do you know that? I don't even know what they look like.
That's because all of their tanks have those like ring guns on the front, and they're made out of plastic. So when the monster steps on it, it right away.
And they, of course, they melt under the monster breath.
Yeah, calm down.
Yeah. But no, see, the Japanese don't. I mean, in reality, actual reality, the Japanese don't do. The Japanese don't like to do things with their military because it's not a military, it's a defense force.
Oh.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's like,
peacekeepers.
Exactly. It's just a proportionally
smaller army than what the U.S. would roll out in such a situation. Yeah. So
no nuclear weapons, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, I love the idea. I love the idea of that Godzilla is part of the Earth, and he's the guy with the baseball bat. He's the enforcer. He's the one that goes, "Oh, you're just screwed. I guess what? I'm here, and we're gonna clean it up." You know, I like that.
Chilling out the whole time under the Earth in the water, just hanging out.
Yep,
Loch Ness monstering it up.
Yep, exactly. He's like the mother of nature, is what he is. He's the mother of nature. Anytime something gets out of whack, all right, here we go.
No, he is the king of the monsters.
Yeah.
I love that. I just love how the whole thing all went flapped together. It's very good. And like I said, I like this movie a whole heck of a lot. It's just not my favorite Godzilla movie.
Well, it's the only one I've seen, and I thought it was pretty. It covered whatever I needed to cover, and I don't have any desire to go and look at other Godzilla films because, like, this one is the top as far as special effects. Godzilla looked bizarrely humanoid in the face, or I don't know, but
what's crazy? Yeah. Let me give you that, because we've always known Godzilla's been a dude in a rubber suit, right?
Right.
What was odd yet respectful of Godzilla in this movie is with all the computer graphics, all the money they put into it.
He still kind of looks like a guy in a suit.
He looked like a dude in a suit. It was actually Godzilla. It was very, very strange to see that.
It's like, weird, but true.
They're keeping it a little too real. He actually looked like...
What is he supposed to look like?
You just think that when you take advantage of the technology, you could do things to skew it where the proportions wouldn't quite be the same or whatever. You could take those liberties when you have the technology, but it was so crazy. The director was so respectful for the actual architecture of Godzilla. It really, really looked like a dude in a rubber suit. It was amazing when I saw it. I was like,
oddly enough, most of the dinosaurs, or the larger dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, have smaller heads.
Exactly. So you clearly could have a person in it. You know, when you've got the computer graphics, a person couldn't fit in the dinosaurs than Jurassic Park. It was the shape was all off. So when you figure they're putting this much money into it and it's going to be a monster, it's not going to be shaped like a person, right? But no, that was the original Godzilla.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Fred Flintstone or something. Yeah, some weird humanoid Fred Flintstone character,
because
he's got the jaw and
what was it, Dino? Dino?
No, not Dino. No, I mean actually Fred Flintstone, actual Fred.
He looks like a Fred Dino hybrid.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you that one.
I like the fight that they had.
Not long enough. I really wanted more.
I think what we got was it was really good. I was going to say something about... okay, I'm sorry. I lost my thought.
Well, while you're thinking... Yeah. The fights in Pacific Rim were longer than this.
Pacific Rim was just good.
Well, saying. I mean, we got the technology now where we can really have fun with the animating of the monsters and then tearing up the cities and all that stuff. I really was waiting for a longer...
But they needed to do... This was an origin story. This was Captain America 1. I think if they do another one, you might get something longer. I think that maybe some of the little babies got away and they're going to grow up faster because they got hit with nukes or something like that. But I think this one was more of a educating the audience.
I would like to see a sequel. When you say it's an origin story, everything that you said about this episode, I 100% agree with. I respectful. I like the way the story was unveiled. I love the way how grounded the science felt at the beginning. Anyway,
they kind of lost track.
They took some liberties.
No pun intended with the lost track. Right? let that go.
They have somebody fall off the track in Captain America.
See, my problem is all that stuff that you say is the opening is great, 100% great. Problem is the movie was only 2 hours, and we are still building at 50 minutes into the movie. It's the, it's still building. And okay, so we've had a wonderful time discussing all this stuff. We've had a great time. There is one minor thing we have not talked about at all during this whole film. That is the supposed lead characters in the movie. And I'm not talking about Godzilla. We're talking about the Brodies, right? Not dad, but father, wife, and you know, and well, just father, wife, and that guy. That was the whole second half of the movie. They were supposed to be the stars. And by the way, we had a fabulous time coming to realize that Aaron Taylor Johnson, the lead in this, was kick-ass, right?
Yeah.
But do you know who his wife is?
No.
You all didn't recognize her.
Hold on. Oh, she's a Olsen.
She's the Olsen twin.
What?
See?
It's Elizabeth Olsen.
Because I was like, oh my God, she looks just like an Olsen twin. But then I was like, oh my God, I'm being racist because I'm like doing the whole everybody's all looking alike. And then turns out she is an Olsen, so I don't feel so racist anymore.
My God.
Yep.
She was incredible.
Well, incredible is a little stretch now.
She's very good.
I did not recognize that she was one of the Olsen girls right away. It dawned on me mid film, but the point is, what I'm saying is, they were supposed to be the stars of this film, and the parts that they were in,
say star of the film.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Seriously, we lost Cranston like 30 minutes in. Right. So the human characters that were supposed to bridge this and carry the rest of this film was the undying romance and I got to get back to my woman, Ford to Ellie Brody story. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that, in that part of the film, and there was supposed to be this symmetry because, you know, Ford, the son, Ford Brody, lost his father and his father wasn't there for him. And so we saw that symmetry developing between Ford not being there for his family and so there was, you don't feel it is the problem. You recognize that was supposed to be happening, but you didn't feel it. And so what was going on with like the people in the whole second half of the movie just kind of left a little to be desired.
So you know that couple is the twins at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier in the tank, the shawarma? The shawarma at the end with you have that one guy going, he's Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Okay. Those are who those both are. Aaron Taylor is Quicksilver. Elizabeth Olsen is Scarlet Witch. And they're their children of Magneto.
Are you serious? That's
well, the original, yes, but yeah. Not in this reality.
No, and this, yeah, no, son, they were at the end of...
I know. I have to do this because Marvel doesn't own the X-Men. They're not Magneto characters. They're created by...
Magneto, shut up.
I'm sorry, it's the truth.
He is right about that, but that's only for legal purposes. We all know.
We all know they're kids.
But, you know, the clone already,
thank you very much.
But your analogy, okay, I got it. But my point is that's the whole second half of the film, though. It ain't no shawarma. They're half the last 50 minutes, last 70 minutes of the film, they're supposed to be carrying. And that.
Hey, man, we're just a family. Like, what do you want them to do? They're just, like, if you were a family and, like, you know, I was like a wife and you were like the husband, Carl, and then Will was our kid. And then like, how interesting are we supposed to be when we're running for our lives with this big thing that we don't know what it is and this big bug thing and these, all this, like, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be cracking jokes or showing boobs or like, what do you want from these people?
The whole first half of the movie is grounding the space for Godzilla to be real. Okay, in my opinion, they took a little long for that, but it was respectful and it was real. I did feel that, right?
Yes.
Well, shouldn't we have at least some of that emotional realism between the husband and the wife and the child, the foundation that they were setting to make a world acceptable for Godzilla?
But you know what? If it was too much of them in it. Like, I think it was a nice enough amount of them because I don't care about, I don't want to see a kid roaming around like in Iron Man 3. I don't care. I don't want to see, I thought it was too much of them. I don't want, I just want them to do their jobs. And their job is to protect their child, which she did. And I think his job was to take down something with the bombs and I'm not really sure what. But they did their jobs, and I don't think I think they were fine, because if they started being Shia LaBeouf about their roles, then we would have hated them more.
Okay, but so I don't mean that they should have been more and bad characters, what I'm saying. That they should, you know, for as much as they were in the story, I wanted a greater emotional connection.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree.
Well, I have to agree with Kat. You know, I agree that they the expression that they took was as good as it was going to get. You know, it's not because they're bad actors or it's a bad part, but because I think the reaction is, you know, I mean, he's a military guy. She's a first responder, you know, a nurse, and they react to things differently because it's their emotion. You know, that's how they have to hide their emotions.
Well,
I think.
There was a 25-story monster wandering through the city. You get a break on that. You
okay, know,
you
so, can, all right, what are they supposed to do? Sit there and scream for 50 minutes?
It's what? What?
Are they supposed to sit there and scream for 50 minutes?
No. Exactly.
That's my point. You can't have them stand there and go, oh, my God. You can't have that reaction. Stop. I need to do, what do I have to do? I have to do this with my son because this is what I need to do. I have to find my husband because he's important. I need to find where my husband is. Where's my husband? You know, he's coming in. He's over here. I think that they were handled well. I think that they were very good actors and they were very good in their parts. So there.
Okay.
Well, very good is strong, but I just think that they, to have more of them would have been too much. I like the more of the military feel, because I like, as much crap as we talked about Battle Colon Los Angeles, yeah. I think that they brought that type of feel that what we liked about that film.
That movie is called Battle Colon?
No, we have to separate it from the Sci-Fi Channel's version of it, which is why we throw in the battle.
I mean, Battle Colon.
Yeah.
Remember there was Battle for Los Angeles?
No, it was Battle LA. It was Battle LA and then Battle Colon Los Angeles, and they made them at the same time. And
I thought it was Battle for Los Angeles. There was more to it. But anyway, so we had to separate. Colon was the one that was the movie. So
I'm going to write the movie Battle Colon. Excuse me.
Battle Colon would have been ugly. No one wants to see Battle Colon. that would have been a crappy experience.
Well, yeah.
By the way, you know, we think of Godzilla as being such a distinctly Japanese film and concept and all that. You guys know it was ripped off, right?
From what?
There was that came out before it.
England, right?
Called The Beast of 2,000 Leagues. Well, no, it's The Beast of 20,000 Fathoms.
Yeah, Beast from 20,000 Fathoms was written by Ray Bradbury, and that was the one with has the stop motion a monster attacking the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
But Japanese were like, man, that was cool, and they just blatantly. He even looks like Godzilla.
Oh, to be fair, Americans rip off Japanese stuff all the time. So
it's not fair. I'm just pointing out that when you think of something that's so traditionally, you know, Japanese, turns out it was actually.
It's not. They didn't invent the miniature tape recorder. But they did make it their own. They tend to do those sorts of things.
Oh, we're going to have an Apple versus Google come.
No, we're not having Apple versus Google. We're not having that.
Okay. Battle of Los Angeles, Carl. You were correct.
Because remember, it had to be long. That's why we had to separate it.
It was Battle of Los Angeles and then Battle Colon Los Angeles.
That's why we had to go. It was too crazy, too close.
Oh,
it's a tank. It's called a battle colon.
Battle colon.
I love this. It's a battle colon.
That's gross.
The battle colons are coming.
Okay.
I mean, two dots. I'm talking.
Calm, about- calm down.
So you got to realize we've lived with the battle colon for years.
Oh man.
You, we appreciate we that. But we,
years ago, the battle colon just.
We've had this conversation before.
Battle colon weary.
Oh dear, but I don't know. Like for something that I absolutely did not want to see, and I was really angry about seeing, and I did not want to do it because I respect people's opinions, and other people were excited about it. I say, okay, fine, I'll give it a chance. And for me, it was fine. Do I want to watch? Do I want to own it? Do I want to watch it? I might want to watch it again for free. I wouldn't pay for it again. Do I want to watch it as much as I watch Pacific Rim or ID4? No, but it's fine.
Yeah. I'd like to see the behind the scenes and the DVD.
Yeah, I don't care that much.
No, I'm definitely on for the
Of course you do. Of course you too.
Mm-hmm. I have to own it.
You know, Ken Watanabe, he was in Inception.
Yes. He's been a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he's very good.
I love him, but he was just so every time like in the theater that I was every time he said something, people were laughing. It was just like a chuckle. And
It was a little heavy handed.
The Japanese guys always talk heavy handed in Godzilla movies.
No, but he's just like everything. It was a dramatic pause. He looked disheveled and exhausted, but everything was.
Yeah, it was just.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, Godzilla.
And I was just like, sir, I'm going to need you to stop.
It was a delicate line he walked because on one hand it was just like a lot of the old original Godzilla movies, but these days you probably don't want to do that too much.
So. No, because we don't know. It's just, but I enjoyed that. But I enjoy talking crap about it because it was just so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it was enjoyable ridiculousness.
Yes. Now I just want to back you up on the one thing, Kat. The lightning breath was hella cool. I mean, they absolutely nailed it with that. Because I didn't see it coming.
Me neither.
It had been years since I'd seen it, and when they blew that flame down into the it was just so perfect. The color of it. It really was.
And that big pan up his back. And
was just like, oh yeah, that is Godzilla. That's exactly what he's. Why do I know that? But that's correct.
That's how you know you have the respectful director. When just a little moment like that, they can just get it out of the park. It was and so
again, cool. Was that in like the trailers or anything?
No, that was the reveal in the movie.
That was so good. I was like, if they reveal this in a trailer and only showed it twice, people are going to be disappointed. But if they just, you know, didn't, it was a surprise like that, it was good. It was a good surprise.
Well, I love the trailers started with the pre-Halo drop, which was not in the film, which I liked. But they, you know, when they're doing the stuff about the Halo drop, and you're coming down through the clouds, and then you can see Godzilla. It's like, whoa, that was.
They did that in the film.
They did that in the film, but there was a pre-talk where there's got, you know, many of you have not done the Halo drop before, and it was very important. They didn't do all that, which is kind of boring, actually.
Yeah.
They actually did a very good reveal of that. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing, like, you know.
I got a question. Why did they do the red dust when they were falling? What is that for?
The flare.
So they can see each other. So like this is red group, that's blue group, that's orange group, so they can get together and follow themselves down. Is that for aim for the enemy? It's just
because that would capture the attention.
It really would, yeah. But given the now, see when I'm talking about a hero reveal, if Godzilla had come out of the fog, where no one could see anything but his feet. And the first reveal we had was the Halo drop. That, I think, would have been the look that I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
Because that scene was beautiful. I mean, of course, we'd already seen them lumber across the beach. We'd walk through the city at that point. But, man, that scene where they're coming down through the clouds.
It's so
the flare is lighting them up as he's coming down. That was just beautiful.
That
would have been the reveal.
You have the sound effects of the car.
I liked it, but because they did that thing, they did that that same thing when Mothra came out earlier in the film, I was just like, oh, so we're going to always see a view of them through goggles.
I'm talking about everything, not just looking through the goggle part. I'm just talking about, you know, the flares, the fall, the you're seeing only part of the monsters, you come through the clouds. That part is
that's the easiest way to make them look big. You just show part of them. You really this big vista vision, you know, light, cool lighting. But you can only see a leg or a toe or look out of an eye.
Yep.
And that sells this huge thing that you can't conceive of how he thinks or what's going on. And that's the primordial part of the dinosaur of the Godzilla what's it touching in you as a child? When you were a little boy and you just saw it up there and go, wow, that's freaking big.
Oh, yeah, I was totally a little boy.
Yeah, well.
No,
smaller of your own sexuality.
Oh, whatever. I agree with that. I think they were big enough. I did not expect that type of carnage. I pretty much sat in the theater with my mouth open the whole time because I was really shocked. I didn't expect it to look that good. And I had to be reminded, like, oh, yeah, that water was computer generated. And this stuff, you know, because it was so seamless, you know, and the effects did not interfere with the viewing. Nothing looked faked.
No.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just so cool to see. Because they used to do these models, and of course you've seen these, and he'd come trudging up the coast with the slow motion water, and it just did not scale. Water doesn't scale. And like a little bit of water looks like a little bit of water. A ton of water looks like a ton of water. There's no scale between the two. You can't simulate one with the other. But nowadays, with all the fluid simulation and everything else in there, it was so... It warms me cockles to get to see it.
Right after he has his spinach. Yes.
What's happening here? So another shot that I really enjoy that I'd like to bring up is one of the first times we get to see Godzilla, and he's going underneath the big carrier.
Yeah,
I just was like, wow, he's not gonna like destroy that. But so he destroyed some ships further up, but the one that he actually avoided and kind of went under shark like, that was a really good shot. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Oh yeah. There was the wave on the ship. You could see everybody grabbing stuff and trying not to fall off.
Yeah.
It was good.
And we knew that when the beach water receded, that something was big was gonna go down. And I really, I don't know, they really did a good job on this. It was really enjoyable, and it did not bombard you with the uncomfortableness of, you know, like a sci-fi original, or I don't know, it just wasn't that bad.
When you say uncomfortableness, you mean poorly madeness?
You just didn't give that uncomfortable, I'm uncomfortable watching this because it's Godzilla and I don't want to see this, you know, because when you come out of something and you know you're not, it's not really your thing. And it's that uncomfortable, like, why am I here? What am I watching? I could be doing my hair, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't like that the whole time. I literally, my mouth was open and I was, you know, in shock at some of the stuff I saw. And I was impressed at my response because
I
did not want to see it.
To close the segment down, I mean, it's Gareth Edwards and his approach to making this film, how he pre-vised it and how he was able to use the pre-visualization to get that feel of that of the film in it. It wasn't like, because you have a lot, you know, these little like Transformers movies and all this, they have these huge, you know, very large creatures, you know.
Watch out.
Know, models. What?
Watch out now. We'll talk about Transformers 1.
Okay, no. Let me finish. Well, they have these large characters, and if you're looking at them, they're like, the special effects people, they jazz up like how the cameras move, and it's over here, it's over there. Oh, great, it's manic. Oh, look at that camera move. And it's like, no, can I just see what the big thing looks like? Can I just see how the character looks?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the approach he took. He took it from a, you know, obviously they're not real cameras, but let's have it more. This is here for a real reason, and this is he's shooting up here. I love they had all the shots of them of the monsters against little guys standing there going, "Oh wow, that looks cool." And there's a guy taking a photograph of the guy looking at a monster behind him, and he's huge, and all that stuff was so. It was that approach that I think, you know, added to the grounding of the shots.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I could go on forever.
Another thing that I liked was how they tried to make it like Hiroshima or something like that wasn't actually war. It was them trying to take down Godzilla. I thought that was nice.
Well, it wasn't Hiroshima that they...
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that...
They misunderstood that then.
They had the Bikini Islands for the nuclear test.
Oh.
Saying, nah, it wasn't a nuclear... We knew it would blow up. We had to blow up that monster, though.
Yeah, okay, well, it kind of suggested, like, oh, it wasn't... Well, okay, so what I picked up from is, oh, we wasn't really war. We weren't trying to destroy the Japanese people in World War II. We were really trying to take out Godzilla. We're sorry, y'all. That's what it felt like.
It was the subsequent, quote, tests that was us hunting down the monster. I don't think they were saying we were not responsible for Hiroshima.
No, okay.
So, which, by the way, when you think about the classic history of Godzilla, that's one of the reasons why he's such a strongly related with Japanese culture, because he was sort of like, I'm not going to say revenge, but he was sort of like nature fighting back against atomic testing.
You can easily call it the Earth's revenge for being nuked.
Yeah, yeah, and he was technically a defender of Japan too at that time. So
the first two movies are not that, but after that definitely.
Right, right. That's kind of what he was thought of. So yeah, that they did some creative license with that in this movie, and I was kind of like, what are they gonna do about that? But. But it was fasted in black and white, so no one was paying attention. So.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, what now? Yeah.
And they scribbled over things. It was,
yeah. I like that. That was a really creative introduction to the movie.
A creative introduction that actually told you stuff.
Yeah, that's because usually I really hate intro credits. They really tick me off because it's like, we can be having a movie, but you have me watching this. But they told the story and did credits, and I just thought that was really clever because I did pay attention to it. I didn't know what was going on really, but I like that it had information and it was creative at the same time. So. Mm-hmm.
And it forced you to read them because they would redact over the stuff really fast.
So that
I like that part of it.
Someone did a collection here at school that kind of had stuff like that, and it reminded me of that, and I was just like, oh man, this is so great. So it's I just liked it way more than I thought I would. And I think, like Will said, that it was really handled in a really great way. And though you guys may not 100% like it, I thought it was really accessible to the average person like me who doesn't, you know.
I don't want this to be taken wrong. I liked the movie. It wasn't my favorite.
I know what you mean. Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... that's what everybody thought I was going to say, that, hey, I don't want to see it. Oh, I thought it was good. Whatever.
My $10 is safe.
Yeah. I thought about...
you but thought about... I, but I didn't, me like, for
long, yeah, like $10 isn't worth lying, so... why bother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
by the way, just as an aside, you do know that... what, Phil? Is that his first name? No, that's not his first name.
Olsen?
No. Our friend. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
Collins?
Colin.
Phil.
Phil. Collins. Phil. Not Phil Collins. No, I can't think of his name. What's his name?
Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan. Duh. Yeah, Ryan.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, right, yeah. Right.
You know, his company did the effects. Well, he actually and a group of three other guys did the end credits for Pacific Rim.
Oh yes,
he told me.
I know.
Maybe he told me.
I mentioned that in the
book. Oh, Carl told me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But he and he did a really cool job of it.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again because I always like credits.
But end credits though.
The oil black print is what I called it. I thought it was very cool because they were like blueprints but 3D and made out of oil kind of looking. But yeah, they were very cool in Pacific Rim. I thought they were pretty.
Well, I own it, but I'm not going to watch it tonight. I want to watch Jurassic Park because I haven't seen it in a while.
Good. And that's how you do a monster reveal. So you'll see.
Yeah, because I was like, well, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
And then I can't. It's like, I ever seen each Jurassic one, Park? Yes. I feel like I have seen Jurassic Park, but now I'm not really so sure. But like, how could I have not seen Jurassic Park?
There's one with the brachiosaurus. There's one with the
I know what it's about, Will. I'm just saying I can't remember physically watching that, and it's kind of weird because it's like, well, I mean, it's Jurassic Park. Of course you've seen it, and then like it's Jeff Goldblum, so of course I've seen it. But then like I can't really recall anything in the film except for the foot thing. But you've seen that like in trailers, so like.
Okay, so well, then watch it again and enjoy, because it's a fabulous film. I love Jurassic Park. I mean, I go back and I watch it, and I enjoy it as a monster film, which it really is. But at the time, I mean, I think back to when I saw it for the first time, and they had just broken the barrier on computer graphics.
Right,
and when you saw, because you know we'd seen Terminator 2 and other things where the angles or metal or even liquid they'd done really well, but the textures of a dinosaur when it came out in that movie and they were moving and breathing and they were so so fluid in the way they moved, it was beautiful. It was so much fun.
Oh, like on Terra Nova.
All right, see.
Actually,
crap all in the fishbowl.
At that time, that little you were watching it. We're watching it as humanoids, and it's like, oh, that creature looks a lot like something's like something little in my brain to run away and hide. And I like that. That was really a cool thing. And I could tell you something about Jurassic Park, but I can't, so I won't.
Okay, that's fine. So, any last thoughts about Godzilla? Because we can wrap this one up.
Oh, sure. We can wrap this one up. Let's wrap this one up.
And that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686.
Exactly.
Zip it. We have a website. It is scifipartyline.com. You can leave comments there, and you can sign in with Twitter and Facebook.
And it's
God damn it, Will.
Climate change is real.
We are on Twitter and Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy this show, hopefully. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye. Oh, what are you doing to me? I call y'all like bad children.
I'm sorry.
end of line.